Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
As you know, I've been completely mortified by South Africa's non-reaction. In fact, it's not a non-reaction. It's a very real reaction to the crisis in the Ukraine, to the war that Russia has started. John Steenhuisen, DA leader, joins us this morning. Thanks for doing so. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Great to be with you and great to be with the listeners today.
It is absolutely embarrassing and mortifying that South Africa continually places what they call politics above the human side of life, because that's what they're doing. They've made it a political process rather than feeling anything for the people that are suffering. What's the DA's view?
Well, I think first of all, I'd say, very clear, the ANC are determined to scramble to the wrong side of history on this particular issue, and it's not surprising. We believe that the invasion of a sovereign country, an independent democracy, by another country is a breach of international law, and it should be condemned by all peace-loving, freedom-loving, and democracy-loving citizens and governments around the world. And so it's completely embarrassing that South Africa finds itself on the wrong side of history on this. And I think it was typified by the vote in the United Nations General Assembly, where 144 countries, including our neighbors and Botswana and other African countries, voted overwhelmingly to condemn the invasion, and yet South Africa chose to abstain. And then one looks at all these ANC officials attending parties, and probably the most egregious example was our defense minister, who on the day of the invasion attended a cocktail party at the Russian embassy to toast the Russian armed services. I think it's completely embarrassing, and South Africa has really, it diminished itself in the eyes of the world with its just absolute refusal to take a principled stance on something that is very, very clearly an act of aggression and warmongering by Vladimir Putin and the Russian Federation.
The ANC continually use the example of, well, they were friends of ours during the apartheid struggle. But, I mean, obviously they use it selectively, because the Jewish community was also friends to and very actively involved in the apartheid struggle, but no loyalty is held there. That said, is this a genuine thing? Cuba, Russia, Iran, I don't really know all of the friends that they claim they had. Is this genuine, or is it really about something a little bit different to that?
Well, I do think that it's got something to do with the solidarity, but I also think it's got something to do with the fact that South Africa doesn't have a foreign policy. We've got no principled basis in which we venture out into the world.
Did you say we have no principles? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, we've got no principles when it comes to foreign policy.
Right, exactly.
So you will see, for instance, that the government's always got a lot to say about the Middle East and Israel.
Experts in the field.
And, you know, it's very quick to take sides there. It's very quick to take sides in other conflicts in the world. But when it affects one of their own friends, it's a different story. And that's what happens when you don't have a principled basis to conduct your foreign policy, because if you did, you have a base set of principles, and that lens becomes a lens against which you measure international conflict. So it's very, very sad that we don't have that foreign policy, and that's why we're all over the room. But the reality is that for many in the ANC, the Berlin Wall is still up, Leonard Brezhnev is still in the Kremlin, and the Cold War is still raging, and that's how, you know, they conduct themselves. Which is why, you know, we've really found ourselves on the completely wrong side of this particular issue.
Is it not a concern within the ANC when they look at who abstained from the vote, for example, in the United Nations, and they look at who they have aligned themselves with? Surely that within the party should signal some alarm bells.
I don't think it signals alarm bells in the party, and we've never been afraid to align ourselves with the skunks of the world, even when it comes to matters that are of very big principles in our own constitution, human rights, the respect of people's sexuality. Mm-hmm. We're not consistent in the United Nations. We regularly side with those oppressive countries like Uganda and others, Rwanda and other countries that are oppressing their own people. And so it's not a surprise. But I tell you, there is going to be a consequence for this down the line for South Africa. The European Union is one of South Africa's largest trading partners, and I really do think that they are losing patience, and that this vote in South Africa starts on this issue may well have repercussions for trade agreements we have. It may have repercussions for special concessions and access to markets that we get in these countries, because they're going to say, well, if you can't stand up for the most basic principle of international law and democracy, then why should we give you special access? And that's the last thing our economy needs now, and it's the last place we want to find ourselves in.
The fact that it has chosen this path, it's very, very clear, as you've said, in terms of the European Union. The Americans have, in fact, are putting pressure on South Africa as well. Most political parties and our popular press is pretty united in condemnation of the ANC. What price are they prepared to ultimately pay to stand by this despot?
Well, I think that you only need to look at what the president said, that he's more interested in the unity of his organization than in being a good president for the country. And I think that the behavior and acts of omission and commission over the last 5 years are very clear indicator that it's party unity first, and the interests of the country are the last consideration, generally, that are considered. And so I think, the president, as usual, is happy to go along to get along within his party and not rock the boat. And so I think there's a lot of unity in the ANC on this particular issue. The fact that it's going to have a detrimental effect on the people of South Africa eventually. I mean, we're going to see in the coming weeks massive fuel price increases. We import a huge amount of grains and other foodstuffs from Ukraine, and those shortages are going to bite, and you're going to see even more food price inflation, and life's getting a lot harder for ordinary South Africans. But that is a reality, and that's why we've called for debate with the National Assembly on this particular matter, because we believe it is important for us to start discussing what the wider implications of the conflict in Russia-Ukraine is for South Africa.
How is this? We've spent a lot amount of our time confusing government with ANC. It gets very, very mixed up very often, and that's because we've had a very, very dominant ruling party, I would imagine. So it is hard sometimes to separate the two. But speaking about this debate that you've called for, how easy is it what is the process to take them to task over something that is clearly a poor decision and one that's going to impact negatively on all South Africans?
Well, what they're trying desperately now to do is not talk about the issue. They're trying to shut down any type of debate on the issue. And the Speaker initially refused the request for the debate and said that it wasn't specific enough. Well, we've now sent a follow-up letter and made it very explicit what we want to talk about in the debate, but they're going to try and just kick this issue into touch and hope it goes away. But I'm afraid to say it's not going to go away. And I think you're starting to see as well, particularly from the European Union side, a lot more pressure than ever has been exerted before on the South African government. So a lot of the European foreign ministers and ambassadors here in South Africa have expressed their unhappiness and their disquiet about what has happened. And South Africa better heed those warnings, because we do trillions of dollars worth of trade with the European Union. And if that gets put in jeopardy, it's really got the potential to, let's say, hurt South Africans. And that there could well be electoral consequences for the ANC. Governments don't do well when food price inflation goes through the roof and the cost of living rises. And they better wake up soon to realize that you can't be agnostic about what's happening in Russia and Ukraine. You've got to actually take a side. As Dante said famously, that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in times of great moral crisis, choose to not take a position. And I think that's absolutely true.
Although they actually are taking a position. Maybe they are trying to show that they're not. But in fact, they've taken a very clear position. By through their behavior, they have taken a position on this.
Yeah, well, I think you're probably right. But officially, government saying, you know, look, we've got, you know, there needs to be this and that needs to happen. They're trying to present a balanced ignorance of the situation. But the reality is, they very, very clearly are sucking up to the Russians. They refuse to condemn the Russians. They refuse to speak out against the human rights abuses that are taking place in Russia itself. But now this act of aggression in Ukraine is just another example of the megalomaniac power. And the one thing that Helen Suzman taught us is that you always stand up to bullies. Because if you don't stand up to bullies, they just become bigger and nastier. And you're going to see that if Putin gets away with what he's doing in Ukraine, it's not going to be long before other countries and former satellite states start to be targeted as well.
Of course, the irony or the fascinating thing was that it was just yesterday that the ANC marched to the Israeli embassy. So there's some wars, of course, that it doesn't mind getting involved with when it comes to Cuba, when it comes to Zimbabwe, when it comes to Russia. You know, it's quiet diplomacy and we don't get involved in the affairs of another country. But yesterday, during this war, the ANC chose to march to the Israeli embassy. Does the hypocrisy, do they not find it difficult to justify their own hypocrisy or double standard?
No, because they're so principled and they're completely shameless. And you're exactly right. I mean, and the irony as well is that South Africa has very little influence in the Middle East. But BRICS, which we're part of, is very much within our influence.
Absolutely.
The African Union is very much in our influence. And yet we stay absolutely stum, on those matters. But we've got lots to say in areas that are outside of our sphere of influence. And you're right. I mean, they're absolutely shameless in terms of how they judge what's going on in the Middle East, and very happy to jump onto any soapbox that comes their way around what's happening in the Middle East. But contort themselves in pretzels to stay away from having to comment or criticize something that could be in their sphere of interest.
It is absolutely shameless and shameful, as you have said. When are you hoping for this debate to take place?
Well, it's a debate of urgent national importance, so we hope in the next week there is going to be a fallout for South Africa, and we need to discuss that. But I also think it's an important thing for Parliament, as an arena of executive accountability, to pin the government down on exactly what their view is on this matter and what they intend doing. Because as I said, it's not a situation you can remain agnostic and sit on the fence about. There is clearly a huge moral question here, and South Africa needs to make sure that it upholds its own values as well within this particular discussion.
And that's all, unfortunately, we have time for. Thank you, as always, John Steenhuisen, DA leader, talking to us about the position that South Africa has taken, and the ANC in particular has taken, when it comes to the Russia-Ukraine war.